announcement that she wants to make. This lovely lady's been part of 3CR. How many years?
18.
18 years. And I'm going to let her share her story, but welcome. You're so welcome.
Morning, everybody. It is so good to be here. I think I was chatting to Debs. I think I spent 12 years in the breastfeeding room, and I don't know, forever. It's just, yeah, one baby, next baby, next baby. But it was such a beautiful place to be. And yeah, normally when people take the mic, they say the same thing. Like, this is the place to be planted. And I have to say that it is. When we moved to Pretoria, I hated everything about Pretoria. And then I found 3CR and I loved everything because it was my family. It was my home. It was my friendships. People taught me how to bring up kids. I knew nothing. And it was just, yeah, it was God-centered. So, I must have been about 20 when I got a prophetic word that I would write a book. And I was honestly like Sarah, I laughed and I was like, God, not me. I can hardly string a sentence together. And during lockdown, the Lord put on my heart to write a book on marriage, because when I sat and counted, close to 30 of my friends had tapped out on marriage, just for whatever reason. Some very valid, some not so valid, but it just stirred within me. So it was lockdown. I was trying to school my four boys. It was nightmare. But writing the book was, like, honestly, it was an outlet for me. And I said to the Lord, okay, I'll go ahead if you give me the title for the book, which everyone likes the title, but the title of my book is WTF, like, what the faith. But it stands for Worth the Fight. And just to say, like, marriage is hard. And I think we all see it as hard, but we don't always see everybody else as hard. So I did. I wrote the book and I said to God, now what do I do? And he just sent me an editor and somebody that would print it. And it just took off. And I did the book and I said, okay, God, I'm done. And then he said, no, you're not done. That book that you started writing when your firstborn was born, who is now turns 19, in April, he said, I want you to finish it. So I went back to all my notes and I literally started writing the first week of my baby's life. I wrote for Baby Sense, I wrote for their blog, and I started from that. I just started writing all the years that my babies were little. I wrote the introduction to the book when number four, who's now outside and turns 10 on Monday, when I was in the maternity ward with him after he was born. So I just felt God say, just finish the book. And I literally put it all together because I'd written over the 18 years. And I then contacted a hospital, and they've just ordered 4,000 books, and it's going to go into all their baby bags. So that is just all glory to God, because I didn't think I could ever write a book. This is just my thoughts on paper. That was a little bit of my testimony. But I also wanted to encourage all of you that Jalene Rabin once said to me, there's a book in all of us. So if there's a book in me, there's a book in you. And I want to encourage you, don't journal, turn it into something, share it, even if it is a blog or a WhatsApp. Don't, like, use that. Use that. As women, we got a lot of words, but sometimes when we put it down, it can turn into something for his kingdom. And I just wanted to encourage you, if you have any inkling to write a book, chat to me. I can give you editors and printers and everything, because if I can do it, you can do it. So yeah, I just wanted to share with you. So yeah, I bought my books. The first book I wrote, the WTF, Worth the Fight. I always want to say to people, it's not rocket science, but it really is just an encouragement to say marriage is hard, but it's good. It's the best relationship ever, right? And then FYI, this is the book that I wrote. It's the first year of a baby's life. I always thought it would go into for mom's groups, but also like for baby bags, because it gives you a place to write, and it is really just my thinking, how to pack a baby bag, a lot of stimulation advice for the first year of a baby's life. I used my experiences running a baby school, teacher, all of that, and just put it in the book. And yeah, so those are my two books. I bought these with as well. They also sell calendars, and I know it's nearly March, but I had left Eva in my car. So yeah, that's what I do. But yeah, be blessed by it, and be blessed by this coming. If you wake up on a Thursday morning, you don't feel like coming, know that if you're not going to be blessed, you will bless somebody else. So it's a good place to be, guys. It's a good place, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. I just think that what we're talking about is the Proverbs. And the Proverbs, remember, are not laws. They're not rules. It's wisdom that is given to us in a godly form. And community is about Proverbs happening around us. And I just think when there are moms that have gone ahead of you, this is wisdom. So this is her business. It's not a handout. But I just think when it's someone in the community that has sought God and has journeyed ahead of us, it's a wonderful thing to support. So there's no pressure, but you've met the lady. Here she is. You can see her, you can watch her life, you can check her kids outside. And I just think it's a wonderful way to journey together. So for especially the new mums. Yeah, but that's exactly what wisdom is, you know. And I think it's a beautiful thing in action of what we're speaking about. So God bless you. Father, I just thank you for what you've done in this beautiful lady's life. And I ask that you would be close to her. And if there's another book in her, won't you stir something? Won't you just keep her voice relevant to the community around her? I ask that you would bless her children and her parenting, that you would bless her marriage, that you would keep them safe, Lord God. I pray for the journey ahead, that you would be close to them as a family. And I really ask that your blessing would be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Sure. Honestly, seeing Susan here, it's full circle. Because before I even had kids, I was coaching her kids swimming. So... And I really can attest to Susan, watching her boys grow and just being a mom. I even thought, like, even if you've had your kids and they're over a year, but you know somebody that's just had a baby. Like, I was thinking of that because my kids are a bit older now. But I think if you want to bless somebody else with it, I think would also be a cool gift. And then I want to recap what's happened the last few weeks. I'll start with Rory. He spoke about daughtership. Absolutely blew our minds. And then after him, it was myself. And I spoke on Proverbs 1. And, well, half of Proverbs 1, because Meg started on the first half of Proverbs 1. Very intense piece of scripture. So I just want to say again, it's not... I don't stand up here and I'm speaking because I'm doing everything right or I know what to do always, the right thing to do. The point is we need to rely on God. And having the fear of God is the first step so that when we are sitting here, our hearts are in a good position to receive whatever the other ladies are going to be speaking on over Proverbs, because it can be quite an intense book of wisdom. And then just a small announcement is the ball pit is out of bounds while people are talking, just because it makes a bigger noise than other things. And don't worry about crying babies, because we are all used to it. We're all moms here. And yeah, I also have the massive privilege of introducing Candace. Sure, Cans, I can't even begin to explain what a pillar you are in my life. Pregnant together with our firsts, which now they're turning 6. Mind blowing. And I don't think I would have been able to do motherhood the way I'm doing it now without you, honestly. And I'm so glad I met you here, and that we've grown our relationship. And I'm so keen to hear what you have for us today.
I definitely will echo the same back to Tay. She was definitely one of the first faces that I saw when I started in Mom's Group, and it was one of the friendliest faces, and it's just stuck ever since. Thank you, Tay. It's lovely to be here this morning with you ladies. I'm speaking on Proverbs 2, and the title that I've given it is Wisdom Will Deliver Us. So in Proverbs 2, we see a father mentoring his son. And it's a picture for us, and it's wise for us to disciple our children. And when we talk about wisdom, I'm going to start by saying it is the righteous application of true knowledge. And we know that alone, only through Jesus do we have righteousness, and can we walk in righteousness. And Christ is the Son that Proverbs is talking or pointing to. Whenever we read the Bible, it always points to Jesus, whether we start in the beginning or go to the end. Whatever book we're reading, it's always pointing to Jesus. So when you read the word, read it through that lens. So I'm going to go ahead and start by reading Proverbs 2. If you do have your Bible or your app, you're welcome to follow along. It starts, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, what Tay talked to us about, and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil. From the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and unfaithful will be uprooted from it. It's a lot in there. So I'm going to break it down a little bit. And if we look at it, the outcome of wisdom is righteousness. The goal that we're working towards is righteousness by getting wisdom. So I'm going to start at the end and work my way back a little bit. So verse 20 says, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. There's an emphasis in this book and the rest of the Proverbs of this walking in the paths and the way. And it is not about something that we do, but it is about something or who we are. So, and we also talk in the Christian lingo of walking with Jesus. And it's that inward transformation or that inward change of repentance that comes into an outward expression. In the New Testament, Romans 1 verse 17, he says, the righteous shall live by faith. Not just doing things that are righteous, but live by faith, a life that shall be marked by it. And that's something that we have become. So there's two differences I want to give you an example of just to put that into a picture. Think about a mom versus a babysitter. A mom is always thinking of her children. It never leaves her mind. You're thinking of what's next in their routine. How am I going to help my baby sleep tonight? Has she or he had enough milk? Have they had lunch today? Did they eat all their food? Everything we do, it is part of who we are. And it is the role that we play. If we think of a babysitter, she will do it. All those same things, change the nappies. But when she leaves, it's not part of who she is anymore. And so it's something that we do. Think of it, another example of somebody who likes to pick a fight in a bar versus a trained soldier. A trained soldier wears the uniform. He has gone through training and he's identified as such. And so the difference between someone who does something from time to time and someone who is marked by it, that's the difference we're looking at. So when we talk about righteousness, it's something that we wear the uniform of. And the scripture talks about we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It is the identity that we carry. And Rory talked to us so nicely about that. Let's look a little bit further up. So Proverbs 2 verse 8 to 9 and then through 15 and onwards. It says, he guards the paths of the justice and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand the righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. 11, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil one, the lifestyle. from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their paths. So we're looking at this difference of two paths, two lifestyles. And 18 and 19 says, "For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life." So when we look at this, Solomon is busy talking to his son about two different paths. There's a fork in the road. And one is the narrow path, and one is the wide path. So we want to choose the way of wisdom and not choose the way of folly, those two different paths. And in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, it talks about this. It says, "The narrow way, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many who go by it. Because the narrow gate is the gate and the, is sorry because the narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So this is just that difference. Just get back to my Proverbs. Sorry. So there's a difference here of the two paths, and we also see it in John 8, verse 6. Jesus is the light of the world, and those who follow me will not walk in darkness. So when we read Proverbs, we cannot read it as legalism or moralism. I'm going to do everything right, and then I will qualify. It's not something that we just do these things so that we can get what we want. It's rather seeking the wisdom of the Proverbs, which means we're seeking the wise one who gives us the Proverbs, the Son, Jesus. He is the one who we want to walk with in righteousness. So wisdom does lead us to blessing, but we don't want to be like the foolish one who looks at the outsider and says, "Oh, they're doing these things, and because of the result of what they're doing, they're walking in blessing." But rather, it's who we are becoming in Jesus, and so we then walk in blessing. And so Satan is the liar, and we know that he's a counterfeiter, and he tries to say to people on the broad path, no, it's not. Don't look at those people on the narrow path and think that you actually need to go and have a life that's come to faith through Jesus Christ and be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus that's keeping them in blessing. But just adopt the things that they are doing. Just do some of the things that they are doing and what they're saying, and then you will get blessing. And then they receive counterfeit blessings, and they think, oh, this is the right way, because they've just adopted some of the things. Meanwhile, they're still on the wide path, and they're not on the narrow path, which is the way of righteousness. And so when they receive those blessings, they don't realize that it's counterfeit or temporary. And so I'm going to go and read verse 21, and it gives us this contrast of these two paths. Verse 21 says, "For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it." That's a picture of blessing, that where the narrow road leads is to heaven. The outcome, the end of wisdom, is salvation. Where, verse 22, "But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." That's a picture of the wide road that leads to hell. So we want to obviously adopt the narrow road. Now, when we're looking at these two things and we do get the blessing from God, I want to read verse 6 and 7. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." So we see there's blessing there, but it is a general principle and not a guarantee. And like Mel said, it's not the law. So we've seen that as an example in Job as well. It starts out in Job by saying he is a righteous man. But he still went through hardship. So he is on the narrow path, but he still went through hardship. So we don't want our theology to shake and our faith to fall apart when we walk in hardship. Because one of the blessings of walking in wisdom is that we get to be closer to the Father in heaven, and we will end up with him in heaven one day. So our reward or our blessing of walking in wisdom is not always something that we see or just a blessing that we see here on earth, but the blessing is walking with God and walking in salvation. So there's a few if statements. I'm going to now jump back to the beginning. And he starts by saying, my son, if you receive my word and treasure up my commandments, he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. There's a lot of these if statements, and it's almost like Solomon is telling his son, you need to find God. You need to seek for the one we're talking about in Proverbs. We need to seek for the source of wisdom himself. And this is happening not by seeking the principles of Proverbs, but rather the prince in Proverbs. The context is actually flee to Christ and not self-reliance. Now, I've sort of given us a little bit of a backdrop of Proverbs 2, and I found that that actually helped me to understand the ways and the paths and the walk in the rest of Proverbs. And now I want to dig into a little bit of verse 16 to 19. I'll quickly read that one more time and then get into that. Is that still all right? Still with me? So verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of God. For her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So it's almost addressing this topic of adultery. And I know that that word is not comfortable on our ears. That's quite a sharp word. And we sometimes put it into a box. We think, oh, that's not applicable to me. I'll just move on. Or it actually brings a lot of shame and hurt and pain. And there's a lot more in this. So adultery is talked about throughout the books of the Bible. Moses talks about it in the beginning. It's talked about in the prophets talk about it, and it's talked about in the Gospels. And it's actually the picture of Israel turning away or forsaking God is referred to as adultery. And we see it with David and Bathsheba, and we see it in Revelations where the world is trying to seduce the people to take them away from God. And Solomon talks to his son about this time and time again. So this is something we need to be talking to our children about and teaching them about, because they're going to read about it in the Word. So a father is teaching his son some practical applications and some warnings. Hello, Abby. And he says, or we read, that wisdom will deliver you. So that was one of the topic that I brought up as Proverbs 2. When we seek for wisdom, we find God. And Christ is our wisdom. And Christ will deliver us. He gives us the ability to flee from temptation. And then I'm going to read 2 Timothy 1. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed, at verse 8, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by Christ, who has abolished death, saves us from death, and through life and immortality to light through the gospel. So not only does God save us sinners, he also gives us life. So, sorry, back to the adultery. It's referring to spiritual wandering. And it makes me think of that song from Chris Tomlin. It says, prone to leave the God I love. Here is my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts alone or above. And it's actually based on Proverbs 19, which says, with my whole heart I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And we're being delivered from our own sin and weakness. And I mean, in Proverbs 2:16, she says, in other translations other than what I've got here, it says, with her smooth words, she enticed what is within us. So it's there, and the devil knows that. And he knows how to get to our weaknesses and just how to pull on those strings. So it's our own desires that entice us, that lead to sin and lead to death. But in James 1, God says that he gives us the crown of life. So later in Proverbs 6, it refers to adultery again. In Proverbs 7, it refers to adultery again. And adultery is something that breaks about four of the commandments. Thou shall not commit adultery, thou shall not steal, thou shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and thou shall not covet. It's spiritual abandonment of God. So Proverbs 7, 21 to 26, it says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. And I want to read this because it gives us the picture of the severity of what's happening here. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside from her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. I mean, wisdom. Now let's just go back to the word, because we see the picture of the severity on the one side. Let's go back to Jesus. So wisdom delivers us from our own sin, from weakness, we've talked about that, and from our adversaries, which is the devil, the adulteress, who's calling us to forsake God, to say he is not enough, he cannot meet your desires, he cannot meet your needs. So Proverbs 23, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit and a seductress is a narrow well. She will lie in wait as for a victim to increase the unfaithful men among us. So she's waiting like a robber. And the consequences of this sin is multi-layered as well, because it affects so many people. It goes into so many areas. It's a serious sin with serious consequences. And the end of adultery is death. And we've seen that multiple times. But wisdom delivers us. So Proverbs 6:32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He does so, destroy his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get. So when we hear how serious and severe this is, how dare we not teach our children about this? How dare we not warn them against what Solomon is teaching his son about? And we want to talk to our children about this while raising them in holiness. So I have about 6 points, short ones, we're almost there, of just how we can actually apply this wisdom that we've talked about now for us and for our children. So the first one is pray for purity. We know that sex is a natural, good, God-given gift. And it's only appropriate in certain contexts, just like fire. I'm sure you've heard that example before. We have fire in a fire pit and we can put it in the braai and it's good. But the moment that it goes outside of that context, it will consume and destroy anything in its path, which is it's the same as sex. So we also want to pray for our children, for their purity, and teach them how to pray for their purity, because we want to pray God protects them and keeps them as they go forward. Second is to model purity and fidelity to our children. And here is one where that means for us, no flirting. We married, that means no flirting. Setting boundaries, what do you look at? Whether it's, what do you allow yourself to receive in? Is it on Facebook, on Instagram, on movies? What are we allowing in? And then to make decisions around certain circumstances before they arise. So an example is, if you know you've got to get into a car with another man, and that's not your husband and you'll be alone in the car, get onto your phone. Hey, my love, I'm on the way to the airport. I'm just letting you know, I'll call you again when I get through the gate. So you know you've set the boundaries when you're in a close, confined space with another man, and you've already decided what you'll do ahead of the circumstances. Or if somebody at work starts to make a pass at you, you know what you're going to do in those circumstances. Make that decision beforehand. Then number three is guard your heart. Watch what you're feeding yourself. Check what you're watching and what you spend your time looking at and letting in. whether, like I said, on your phone, on the TV, or in a, you know, innocent movies. Are we skipping over those scenes or actually just turning it off, or are we just letting it in and opening ourselves to these things? The adulteress comes in many forms and many ways, and she knows how to get in there. And I want to actually make it into a he, because it's actually the devil. And for us, it wouldn't make sense to say she. So that just hits home a little bit harder. Teach your children to guard their hearts as well. So if your children maybe don't have a cell phone, and we're preparing for that with the little ones, and they're around kids that do, teach them that when someone comes with a phone and says, oh, look at this. No, thank you. I'm not going to look. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. And for when your child does have a phone, for us who have to prepare for that, when they do get a phone, teach them. When you get a message from an unknown number or something in a WhatsApp group that isn't right, don't open it. So guard their hearts too. And then teach purity. Solomon is doing that in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7. He's teaching his son before the time comes. He's not waiting until his wedding day. And then let me just give you a few. He's teaching it time and time again as he grows and walks with him, giving warning and instruction early enough. And then teach your children to pray for their spiritual purity, because it's actually not only the purity we're talking around about intimacy, but spiritual purity and turning back to God and turning away from the world. And then do not trust your own strength. So we end up, or we want to avoid a circumstance where we say, but we were just friends at the office. It was just a Facebook invite. It was just a WhatsApp. We don't want to go there. We teach our children the same. Don't rely on your own strength, because we don't want our children to come to us and say, we thought we would only go this far and no further. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And so we want to teach our children that wisdom delivers, and we can depend on God for that. And once we have taught our children this, number six would be then expect it. Expect it from our children, and not because they are strong enough, but because wisdom delivers. So for some of you sitting here this morning, what I've spoken about might feel like, well, it's too late for me. Or you might be feeling shame, or you might be feeling dirty. And I want to say to you, listen to what I'm going to tell you now, because Jesus saves to the uttermost. I'm emotional because I think of some ladies that are so stuck in this, and there's so much freedom in the word. It is not too late. Jesus' blood and his dying on the cross is greater than anything any of us could have ever done. So because I know it's such a public sin and it can have such great impact, we think it disqualifies us. The sin is too far for God to cover. It is outside the purview of his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. But that is a lie from the devil to try and keep us away from the Father and to try and counterfeit and say, no, but you are fine, it's fine. And rather, we want to run to Christ. We want to come to him with repentance and faith and say, Jesus, you are the only hope. Adultery is not the unpardonable sin. Jesus' blood is enough to cover it. And so flee to Jesus. And if you want to pray with someone after, do that, because Jesus is our only hope and he delivers. Good.
I think that was incredible. I think you expounded the scripture so beautifully, Candace. You gave us so many tools to hold on to, but you kept us free. And you set us back on the path. And for anyone who might have just wandered off in their own pressures, you've been able to bring us back onto the path. And I just really want to commend you. Thank you for the incredible preparation. You know, ladies, this is like a 20-minute talk, but you don't know what goes into before this. And I know how busy Candace is. She could have 100 excuses of not being able to get it all together. Oh, shame. Always a mother. But I really do commend you, Candace. Thank you. Satan is so clever how he deceives us and how he manages to get us off the path. And for a lot of you, you probably You'll never battle with sexual temptation. The adulterer is not the one that's going to bother you. But Satan knows that. And so he will just make you a perfect mother. Perfect home. Neat, organized, tidy, got it all together. Able to handle whatever comes your way. Raising incredible kids. But inside, by the time your kids are six, it's like all mom does is scream, "I just spilt a bit of juice. Why did she just get so upset? I just didn't get the mark I wanted at school. Why is mom so like on me about this?" And as they get into the teenage years, "Don't go that one. That one is just going to cause you to just..." And this voice, your voice, which is meant to be tender and drawing close, but you're so committed to being this perfect mum that the enemy just distracts you. And in the end, you don't even feel good enough, let alone your kids. And I want to encourage you, whatever the enemy uses to get us off that path, be careful. Just come straight back to him. Just remember, you are human, your kids are human, and I love the way Candace ended it, of where every single one of us is welcome to come back into his fold. We're back on that path. One word, one bent knee and said, "Oh, Lord, I messed it up. Why did I just lose it with my kids? I adore them. I love them." And one bended knee just gets us straight back on that path. So I want to encourage you, ladies. It's like, sin has many different ways of cloaking things. And Candace spoke beautifully about us being clothed in righteousness because of Christ. And all it takes is just your one bended knee and you are clothed again in that incredible righteousness of Christ. And this community is why we exist, for that very reason. We all slip up. We all have times where we just can't do it anymore. And this is a safe community where you can be real. There are mums who understand, and we can journey this together. So I'm going to ask Candace to pray for us. And I don't want you to see the adultery as this just sex thing. It's just a very good picture that Proverbs teaches us how severe it is. But adultery can just be where it causes our focus to shift. It can be perfection, our own perfection. It can be getting caught up in raising these most successful kids. It can become your God. And I just want to encourage you, just keep walking with the Lord. Come back onto his path. Be clothed in his righteousness, and you are going to be okay. Would you pray for us, Ken?
Father, thank you that you are so gentle, so tender. Thank you that you guide those with young tenderly and with so much love for us here this morning. Thank you that you've made a plan for these ladies to be here this morning, and I pray that you come and meet with them. I pray that their hearts be open to you and that what word you shared this morning will fall on good soil. Father, I pray that you will do a work in our hearts and reveal to us where we have forsaken you or turned away to our own ways. And I pray that you will come and let our almost take our face, like Mel takes our faces sometimes when she shows us how a mom cares, and turn our faces back to you. Let our eyes fall on you, the one who can save, the one who gives life, the one who has our whole lives in his hands. I pray that we turn our eyes to you, and that we run to you, Jesus. We run on the path you have laid out for us only because of your grace and your goodness and your walking alongside us. I pray that we will feel that gentleness in our hearts as we mother our children and we speak to our husbands. I pray that your gentle tenderness will come through in our words and that what we are doing here, Father, will set a strong foundation for the future ahead, future of children who will love you and serve you and seek you. I pray that as we go into this week, we will seek you, we will rest on you, rely on you, and completely trust you, Jesus. I pray that you meet the ladies here this morning that are crying out in their hearts for you to do that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. For those who have a minute, please just pack your chair at the back, and that's it. And yeah, we are available to stay around, have a chat, and pray with you. Okay. Have a lovely day.